This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Misty Rusk, who's the executive director of the Free Enterprise Institute at University of San Diego and founder of the largest angel investment conference in the country, San Diego Angel Conference, that activates accredited angel investors and engages promising early stage companies that drive the innovation ecosystem. Misty, I am so thrilled to have you on the show. The timing could not have been better than this because I'm going to be seeking VC funding very soon. So I can't tell you how personally excited I am, and I'm sure the listeners are as well. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here and get to spend a little time with you.
Oh my God. So I want to jump in into all the questions that I have, but before we begin, I always like to start off by asking, what inspired you to start this journey?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure I have a fair answer. I think for me, I've been an entrepreneur since I was little. Started my first company when I was 5. You know, I didn't realize that's what happened until I was somewhere in my 30s. That I'd been doing this my whole life. But to be totally fair, I feel called to the work. I feel like this is my unique place. Like I'm not the person who stands in and goes and runs the business. I get to touch lots and lots of businesses and lots of investors and to put that out into the world in a broad way. And I just feel like this is the little piece that I have to offer. It's my one little gift. So
wow. That's so inspiring. And I feel like what you're doing is so much scalable than if you were to run your own business and you can only affect so many people, but this way you're affecting, God, millions of people. I mean, I want to dive in a little bit about the work that you've done with the Brink, how, you know, the leadership and the startup, the help that you guys contributed, added jobs and increased sales and 94 million in investments. That's huge. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, actually our numbers have grown pretty wow. dramatically. I should have sent a better update maybe. For the Angel Conference itself, over 3 years, it's raised $100 million. Wow. So 80 million among the founders that have been served through the process coming up to this point. Another 20 million among the 100 investors that have participated up to this point. And then the Brink SBDC on top of that is another $180 million in capital that's moved the last 4 years. So you really are right. It's at this point, it's over 1,000 businesses that have been touched by this work and over 12,000 employees to get to that level.
Wow. Incredible. I'm so excited. I mean, this could not have been, this interview could not have taken at a better place, because last year around May, I wanted to start raising money for my other startup that I started about a year and a half ago, Roma Leaf. It's a CBD brand that's broad spectrum, hemp based. And when I first started the company, it was mostly for me, for my hemiplegic migraines. I wanted a product that was consistent in every bottle, but also did not have THC, because my marketing agency, we serve the tech industry and we manage a lot of millions of dollars in advertising per month. And it's very intense. We can't afford to make mistakes. And so personally, I had to be very alert and on top of things. And long story short, I started Roma Leaf, and then it sort of, My idea was not to create a brand, to be honest, because I didn't want it to conflict with my marketing agency or be some kind of a conflict of interest. And so I kept it really quiet. But then I have friends who are pharmacists and chiropractors, and they said, listen, bring it on. We know you do intensive testing. Bring it on. Let us sell it. And slowly the brand grew organically. And then we launched the online store. And then about a year ago, we opened our first flagship store. And so then I realized that maybe I should focus on this company a little bit more. And and do what I do best, right? I take startups that get funded millions of dollars and I scale them. I help them acquire customers. And here I am, I have a company that's growing organically so easily, but I'm not paying any attention to it. And so last year in May, I was getting ready to start putting my pitch together so that I could pitch to VCs. But I got pregnant. It was a surprise pregnancy at the age of 42.
Wow.
And I told my husband, I said, I think I want to have the baby and then pursue this. I don't want to go in with a big belly and, you know, pitch to investors. And so that's my story. And I'm super thrilled to hear more about it, about what you do and especially the conference, how people like myself can take advantage and maybe participate and, you know, and who would be the ideal participants, the ideal startups. So if you could share that with us, that would be amazing.
Sure. And I just love your story because it so reflects what we see all the time. So somebody has a real problem that they're trying to solve and they realize they're not the only one, right? So you start down the path and you do what it takes to persevere along the way. And then, you know, you get to the place where you say like, okay, I could keep this little and it's going to keep me busy and maybe it's going to provide for my family, or I could try and scale it up and take the solution global, right? So that's where I think there's just such magic in that space to be able to say like, yeah, I figured out how to solve something and I can do it in a small way. Or if I take on an investment, you know, then it changes the game entirely, right? And so like even the amount of money, you know, we typically work with companies that are raising in the ones to tens of millions of dollars. We're really on the early stage. But as they get a little bit further along and they raise those next big rounds, it changes the game from I'm trying to scale a product line to I'm going to go acquire my competitors for, you know, for whatever, you know, hundreds of reasons that people do that. So really exciting to get to be here with you, somebody who's actually going down the path and doing the same thing that we see entrepreneurs do every day. There's a few different kinds of participants for the Angel Conference. So we have accredited investors who participate. They each purchase units in a fund. So we actually have like a little tiny micro VC fund. Right now we've got about $500,000 in the fund. So so you've got investors that are participating and looking. They're either experienced investors who are very community minded. And I'm so grateful for the ones that keep showing up to help everybody who's new learn. And then you have the investors that are brand new to the game, right? They meet the criteria of accredited investor, which is, you know, $1 million in net worth that doesn't include your home, or $200,000 or $300,000 in personal income for an individual or family. So that's there's some expanded definition, but that's basically historically the definition that worked off of. So if people meet that criteria, they're considered accredited, but that doesn't mean they're capable or confident to be able to step in. And our process really just gives them a way to learn by doing. So we have investors, we have founders. So we had 90 companies that applied this year, and we have additional entrepreneurs that'll come and participate in the conference. We have a ton of our community partners, so more than 20, which is, this is part of the magic of our success over the long haul, has been more than 20 really great partners in the community that are also doing this kind of work. So, you know, those partners are all primarily nonprofits that are taking some piece. They're either working in biotech or tech or fintech or, you know, some variety in helping those companies. And they encourage both deals and investors our direction. We watch community leaders show up for this event, not to be recognized and announced, you know, like you'd see at a, you know, a big dinner or something, but to actually watch and see what's happening at this part of this part of the community, because it helps to, you know, it helps to inform their thinking about what's really going on at the grassroots level. So we have and students. We end up with a lot of students that participate too. So,
wow, that's incredible. So for someone like me who's been in business and grew organically, with very little. I mean, we financed it. I financed the company personally, so I didn't invest much money in marketing. And with CBD being still prohibited, unfortunately, on a lot of advertising platforms, you're not able to do text marketing. You can't do paid ads. It's just restricted. And a lot of our competitors are doing it, but they're doing it, I don't want to say illegally, but not the right way. It's all tricky and whatever. And since I own a marketing agency, and I personally don't like doing things incorrectly. And so we never went that route. And instead we decided that instead of figuring out how to do advertising that we shouldn't even do, we're just going to give out free products. And it's sort of aligned with my mission. When I first started, I didn't think of building this as a company, but I did say one day to myself, I said, God, I wish I could just add relief to million entrepreneurs daily. Like, I just threw that out there in the universe. And then it was probably, I want to say a year and a half later, when I thought of, well, how can I start promoting this brand now that we have the flagship store and the online store? And I said, well, why don't I just start giving away and try adding relief to million entrepreneurs daily? And so instead of spending my ad dollars on billion-dollar companies like Google and other, you know, platforms or media networks that have so much money, I just decided that I'm just gonna take my product and invest it by giving to somebody that could use that relief, and whether it's anxiety relief, pain relief, or just simply being healthy. And so that's been the campaign that we're running, and we haven't really promoted it much, but it's been organically growing really rapidly. And so from an investor's perspective, I always wonder, you know, is that going to affect when I'm pitching that I'm giving away things, you know? But at the same time, I'm like, well, I'm very community driven. I love supporting my community, my fellow entrepreneurs. I'm obsessed with entrepreneurship. And I figured if I'm going to spend ad dollars elsewhere, I'd rather just spend it on products and just give it out for free and see what happens. You know, what's your thought on that?
You know, there's some similarities in other industries. So cannabis is definitely in an interesting space. Legal some places, not legal others, still federally prohibited, you know, which affects what you can do with traditional banks or, you know, programs like the Brink, which is funded by the SBA. And since it has federal funding, it can't touch cannabis related companies, you know, so just there's so much to navigate. There's also just such a huge shift in the mindset around cannabis as it's come online. So I'm originally from Colorado. I've watched what happened there. You know, they're one of the first states to make it recreationally legal. And just how the mindset has changed about it. And watching something that's brand new like that come into full legal commercialization is just spectacular what the growth opportunities are. So from that perspective, I think cannabis is just really interesting. You know, like, I don't know, maybe even 2 years ago, I would have said I'd never invest in it until it was fully legal. But I've got a cannabis company in my portfolio right now. So, and that's a surprise to me. And it just made a ton of sense. You know, from just a strictly capital perspective, it just makes sense. We see freemium models all over the place. So there are, you know, what was Facebook's value, you know, before they ever had an ad platform, right? Like they were worth lots and lots of money before that ever happened. So we see freemiums in software. We see product freemium, you know, that model to build a user base that then converts to commercialization. So our advice would always be just know what the commercialization path is, like the path to the paying customer. And how, you know, that whether it's loss leader or a freemium model, how you're going to bridge over to, you know, a capital model. But we see more and more of those all the time. It's actually fairly common at this stage.
Wonderful. Now, in terms of female entrepreneurs, I know that, you know, it's still not equal to the VCs investing in female-owned companies. What's the percentage like from your perspective? Has it grown? Have you invested specifically in more female-owned businesses?
Yeah, so there was a solid 20 years in my career where I was the only woman in the room, and I was fine with being one of the guys. You know, like at some point, like that's sort of my personality is that way, and you know, the way I showed up, you know, and pretty quickly, we'd all forget that I was the, you know, the only woman in the room. You know, I have seen, you know, San Diego's been a real champion of unconscious bias, right? Like to come to that, and you know, I'd give a ton of credit to Dr. Sylvia Ma for you know, pushing that and helping bring that to people's awareness. I know the first time I ever heard about that and, you know, really listened to it for the first time, I was like, oh my God, I do that too. Oh my God, I am equally hard on women as men are on women traditionally. And, you know, so to have some perspective is great. And just even awareness helps. So for the San Diego Angel Conference, we don't have a bent for diversity. We don't have an angle for women. But what we do have is we run a super transparent process. And I think we pick the best companies that are out there. For us, 8 out of 11 of them have been led by women, half of them diverse founders. So we didn't set out to do that. We just picked the best companies on a level playing field. And that's just what happened. So I'm excited that we've got such a great diverse group in our, you know, in our portfolio. It looks like we're headed that way again with companies that are in the finals again this year. So we've got a kind of an even split by gender and diversity. And so I think the more of us focus our attention on a good process, full transparency, robust conversation, you know, that moves towards dialogue and the focus on getting to yes, right? So our overarching model at the San Diego Angel Conference is we get to yes. And that shades everything that we do, from how we talk to founders to how we behave with each other, which I think has been beneficial and part of the reason why we've gotten so big so fast.
Now, can anyone join? So you said you have an upcoming event in March, I believe.
Yeah. So just right in the near future, our annual event is March the 24th. We're super excited about that. Okay. Anyone can attend. And I think we've given a special discount code for your listeners, which I'm pretty excited about. So we'd love to have as many people as possible for two reasons. One, some of your listeners may become investors. We want that to happen. And two, some of your listeners are likely founders, and we want them to come share with us, be inspired, come back to us, and you know, and compete with us in the future.
So in terms of competition, tell us a little bit about that process. And I'm assuming it's too late to join now if we want to compete, right?
Yeah, so applications were due middle of December.
Okay.
So the next application round will be due the middle of December. So put your science on it.
Yeah.
Our investors start looking at deals on January the 5th. Okay. So right after the new year, they start looking at deals. We had 90 companies apply.
Wow.
They first looked at like everything on paper. So we have a platform that we use called Gust. So we put all the materials into Gust, and then the investors go through and filter through that information. They pick the top 24 companies, just looking at what they could see in writing. They brought 24 companies in for a 3-minute pitch with moderated Q&A, and then they picked 12 of them to come back for a full 10-minute with a more robust Q&A. And they picked 6, and they'll spend 5 weeks studying the top 6 companies before they pick a winner on March the 24th. So not only is it very transparent, it's a pretty substantial process to get to the winner.
Now, is there anybody guiding the founders through this process, sort of helping them prepare? Or
yeah, so we have, you know, we have all these great partners that we work with, and so, you know, as their companies continue to make it from one round to the next, you know, they'll double down and help support the companies that they still have. And there's some bragging rights involved. Also, our team at the Brink SBDC becomes available to all of the companies as they go along if they want some extra help. And then also, you know, we'll make introductions back to the partners that we work with. So San Diego has about 70 incubators, accelerators, and co-working spaces, which is a lot. I think there's actually quite a few more than that, but I know of 70. And so we will also help, you know, we feel like, we know that the companies that do well in our process work with two or more outside agencies to help them, you know, keep progressing. And so, you know, we'll help make connections wherever we can back to those organizations if there's specialties in, you know, say fintech or biotech or you know, medical devices. We've got experts in all of those places that will help the founders connect to.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.